You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Show served up hot and fresh only on 105.7 FM. The Fan. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Buck. And we are talking about the Bucks and Celtics. Game one from last night. Celtics beat the Bucks 112-90.
I just got my new Giannis jersey. When did I get that new jersey? Friday? Was it Friday? Oh, man, my memory is so bad. I'm going to bust that thing out tomorrow because I tweet all kind of pictures that make people mad.
Okay. 22 points, 8 rebounds for Giannis.
Waiting on his shoes, too.
Middleton, 16, 10, and 6. But
you and Gary just sucking all the energy out of this thing. Y'all
Bledsoe, only 6 points, 4 assists, couple boards, couple of steals, only 1 of 5. Brook Lopez, only 1 of 5. Sterling Brown, 1 of 7. Pat Connaughton, 2 of 10. Those guys all need to play better in Game 2 coming up tomorrow night for sure. 414-799-1250 or tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan.
Let's go to Marcellus on the east side. Marcellus, you're up next, 105.7 FM The Fan. Marcellus, what you got in that game the other day, buddy?
How you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing good. How you doing,
y'all? Yeah.
What's going on,
my brother?
It's been
a minute since we spoke.
Yeah.
So happy New Year's and Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, okay.
Gary.
Goodness.
Yes.
I agree with what you were saying.
Yeah.
Giannis goes to the basket, and they tend to collapse on him. As far as I'm concerned, I want Boston to play just like they did because it's a simple adjustment. He has two or three people on him. That means two people are open. All the guys have to do is get in better position and knock down their shots.
Right.
And that will take them out of that. And then Giannis can really go to work. I think that's what your observation was right on point. Also, I want to say, as much as I love you, number 36.
Yeah, come on with it.
I have to disagree. Adjustments are not a panic thing. It's just an adjustment to get a better leverage on how to get done.
Now, wait. Adjustments and change is different.
Yeah.
People been saying change something. Now, I'm preaching now because I went to church Sunday, Tuesday, and last Friday.
Come on, man. Say
adjustments, that's within the system. Change means outside the system, there's the panic. Is what I was saying. So
okay,
we're on the same
page.
Yeah.
Thanks for your phone call. Appreciate it.
Right on, Leroy. All right. Yeah. Have a good
love you, my
brother. So Roy, here's what has to happen then, because Boston is so long.
They got good length.
That's collapse on Giannis, the guys on the outside got to find the passing lanes. And I don't know if he saw them or couldn't get them there or they were so long. That's the adjustment.
Here's some more comments from the Bucks players.
I agree.
Caitlin Sharkey tweets out, Eric Bledsoe and Mike Budenholzer, quote, he chewed us out. Film don't lie, end quote.
Thank you.
Bledsoe also mentioned the energy level was the biggest issue. Guys not hustling, walking up and down the floor.
I'm okay with all that. That's a little complacent. We did top team.
Why you be complacent against Boston, dude? At your house. You ain't won nothing.
I agree. But
you ain't won nothing.
Lost to him last year in the playoffs.
You won nothing.
And both their star players didn't play in that series.
You think you're that good?
Yeah.
It's human nature.
Let's go to Ronnie in Oak Creek. Ronnie up next, 105.7 FM in the Fan. Ronnie, what you got, man?
Hey, how's it going? I think they got us a little early in the day, you know, a 12 o'clock game.
I'm tired of that. Boston had to travel.
They had it worse.
Yeah, Boston had to.
Boston had it worse. Stop running.
All right. Okay. Well, anyways, I want them to.
They had to get on the plane and play at 12.
Yeah, I want to see Mirch. I want to see Bledsoe. I want to see all the starters in there more minutes. And you know, this is playoff time, and to match that, they got to punch them back in the mouth too. Because I mean, they're so aggressive. We need to lay it on them. We need to leave Bledsoe in there. Mirch is a nice defender, and he can shoot. We need to shoot with. They're one of the best shooting team, Boston. I mean, they're going to shoot and they're going to make it. We need to be right up there with them and shoot also. Right.
Thanks for Leroy. What's the light skinned guy name for Boston?
Jason Tatum.
Yeah, Tatum. What did he do last night?
Nothing. 4 points, 6
nothing.
Boards, 2 of 7.
Nothing.
And that's coming.
30 minutes.
You know that's coming.
Nothing. That's what my point.
That's
nothing.
Coming. They didn't really need him that game.
They did.
Said that last night on the postgame show.
Did you say that?
Jaylen Brown.
Nothing. Got nothing from him.
His game
he played
plan,
defense so well.
Game plan could very well change next game where they feature Tatum right. a little bit in that offense, and now you've got another problem.
Now you got another problem.
Yep.
But you know what happens because those guys step up and step back, then Jaylen Brown probably takes a step back.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely.
Because that's kind of how they kind of.
Right. But you got to figure out who's going to be
there
back at a given night.
You don't know.
And then, like Leroy said, you got Gordon Hayward coming off the bench, 5 of 8.
Hey, man.
13 points, 5 assists, 4 boards, a steal, and a block.
Gordon Hayward played
off
30
the bench.
Minutes. He played 30 minutes off the bench. And every starter played at least 30 minutes. So, in other words, when they knew the game was out of control, they still left those guys.
Let's go to Rodney in Menominee Falls. Rodney, you up next, 105.7 FM, the Fan. Rodney, what you got, man?
Hey, Big Show.
Yeah.
What's going on, my brother?
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. Hey, Leroy, I just wanted to give you a quick shout-out giving me a picture and signing it by my niece, Wendy. You came up in my store.
Oh, what store? What store was that? Ago. What store was that, Rodney?
Package Ship, Bayside, Audubon Court Shopping Center.
What was the name of it?
Package Ship.
Oh, yeah, that Package Ship. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Leroy lived in them places.
Anyway, Bush needs to put their big boy drawers on. You
they
know?
Do. They do.
You got a good point.
You already know they got punched, right?
Yep.
Right.
They got to punch back. I mean, it's kind of just like when Bone was going up in Detroit, and every time he get up in the paint, they send him back. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing to Giannis right now. But we got to punch back.
Yep.
And my other thing would be Bledsoe. She got to go ahead and give Kyrie a couple of them elbows. I think that'll solve a lot.
I don't think so. Kyrie ain't, I hate to use this word, I don't think you can punt Kyrie, Leroy.
Well, listen, Kyrie has the best handles, arguably, in the league.
Well, but what I'm saying, I know that. About just
he's the physical part of it.
I don't think you can punt Kyrie.
Well, they tried it when he was in Cleveland.
Right.
Golden State did it.
They did.
It backfired.
Backfired. I don't think he can.
Because they put Klay Thompson on it.
I don't think you can. I don't think he backed down stuff like that.
I'm doubling him, though.
You got to get the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, I'm doubling him. Morris. Brown, hey, Taylor, you guys make outside shots, God help you.
Let's get to Chris in Brookfield. Chris, you're up next, 105.7 FM in the Fan. Chris, what you got?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Chris?
Bad defeat in basketball, good draft in football.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I think when you watch the last series, even though, of course, we took them 4-0, but when you had Drummond and the other big man for Detroit that played his heart out being injured, and then they brought the other big guy off. They were banging on Giannis, and that's why he only had 14 points in that one game. I think that set the tone for Boston to figure the study film and what they had to do, and they're mature enough to make changes. And if the coach, Budenholzer, doesn't make the changes that needs to be done on whatever Leroy says, that's why Atlanta got rid of him. Because he didn't make changes. He could take him to the tournament, but he couldn't take him to the promised land. You've got to be able to adjust to what's happening to you, not just keep playing your way. That's just being stubborn and stupid. And they've got to keep Giannis from stop letting him pound the rock. Get the ball out of his hands. Don't let him bring the ball up the court. Get him back into playing around the rim, playing from the free throw line and in. I think that's going to help him, too. And he's got to start dishing and stop thinking he's he is the point guard. Because he's just sitting there holding on to the ball. He ain't facilitating like he did throughout the whole season. He's playing scared, in my opinion. And I love the guy. He got three of his jerseys in all three colors. But I think jerseys got to be made, man.
Thanks for your phone call. In all three colors, Steve.
That's the call of the day.
I got two of them.
All three colors.
That's the call of the day so far. Here's the thing. Steve, please address what he said about Budenholzer winning 60 games in Atlanta, but – nothing happened, although he didn't have Giannis.
He lost to LeBron. Everybody lost to LeBron. You can't hold that against Budenholzer.
Hold it, man. I ain't asked a question yet, Steve. Don't get so defensive.
You said reacting to that call.
I ain't through asking the question.
Oh.
Because his question makes a lot of sense. If you win a lot of games, okay, and then, you know, he said the word changes. Now, I use adjustments. He stick with his – everything. So you just go let LeBron just beat you up and you not change anything? Or you going to change something? I'm using the word change because he did. So, or is Budden stuck in his ways as most coaches are? And I'm going to stick to my plan. I'm not making no changes.
Well, that's the thing. And that's what's been pointed out heading into this series, that Budenholzer doesn't like making wholesale changes from what they do in the regular season. And the question that's been out there in these different pieces written about this series was, would he be willing to make bigger changes than he's been unwilling to do in the past if need be in this series? Look, we could talk about another in-state coach that was here that refused to do it too, Bo Ryan. Mm-hmm. Other times, if Bo Ryan would have went to zone in a tournament game, they could have won the stupid game and just absolutely refused. Yeah. Nope, I'm going to play man-to-man. If we lose, we lose. And they lost. Yeah. And it's like, holy crap, if you would have just played zone, you probably would have won that game. But just refused. Like, this is what I believe. This is what we're going to play. So I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong to have your belief system or whatever else, but it's also stupid to run your head into the wall the same way two or three times and not make any changes. We don't know what's going to happen in game two. It may just be what they're saying. I'm finding it hard to believe, but it's, well, we're going to play harder. Okay, play harder. But if the guys are still in the same spot defensively, I don't know how that changes anything. Exactly. It's not. It's not going to change much of anything. You got to make your shots.
What the sequence, Steve? The sequence where Jones got his shot blocked twice. You trying to tell me Jones wasn't playing hard?
Of course he was.
He always plays.
That's the thing. I don't
see what I'm saying.
I don't really buy this whole. I mean, I look. Yes, were there times where I saw guys walking up the court like Bledsoe said? Absolutely.
But they do that every game.
Probably.
I don't know. I mean, I watched that whole game. Nobody, not one person on the postgame show last night brought up energy level. Not one. No. Not one listener. Not one person on the air. Nobody. Matt Velasquez, he didn't bring it up after the game. From the Journal Sentinel, we have him on after every game. Not one of us brought up energy. And now today, they're all talking about we just didn't play hard enough.
I ain't get it.
Okay.
Don't get it.
Well, let's see. Yeah. They need to win tomorrow one way or the other. I don't care how they do it. If it's just playing harder fixes everything, then God bless you.
See, the first,
then play harder.
Right.
Here's the thing about
it. That's what you believe, right?
I don't care.
Is that
whatever. Just fix it.
Yeah, fix it then. I don't care what it is. Just do what you do. Give us a
I think that the
what you got, Lee?
Going into these games, you know that we've gotten home court for a reason, being the best team.
Yeah.
So, okay, you lose home court. You can always get it back. You can't let these guys panic or it is over. So his staff has to understand the underlinings of these headlines.
Underlinings.
Keep these guys focused in. Man, we can beat this team. We just have to go back to what we do. We're going to make some adjustments, not changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trying to teach DJ Wilson. You're trying to teach Sterling Brown. You're trying to teach Miritich. All these guys, different rotations. Right. In one day, in one practice, you're going to get toe up.
Mm-hmm.
But go back to what you know. Keep to the basics. And it's a reason why we're here. And I wanted to say that to the young man, but I would like people. I didn't want to get into, you know, all the minutia of all these things. But go back to what you know. And I know people may not want to hear that because after a while I had some guy on Twitter, Steve said, it looked like the Packers of last year. It looks stale. I said, after one game?
No, you can't say after one game.
One game is stale?
Got a tweet here from Braden. He said, hey, come on, man. Tweeting at the fan, appreciate you guys saving me some time the next few nights coming up. Good to know the series is over and I don't need to watch.
Who said that?
Nobody on the air said the series is over.
No, you and Gary has been sucking the energy. I agree with him. Y'all need to agree with me.
What did you say?
You weren't listening to this whole sequility I put on the show when I got here.
What did he say that was so enlightening? What did you say has to change for them to win the series?
Now, don't use the word change, Steve.
You said you're going to do the same thing.
Well,
you
agree
with Budenholzer.
My system
same
works.
Game plan.
You tell me my system don't work?
No, hey, go ahead. Use your same game plan.
I'm asking you, does my system work?
Didn't work last night.
Hey, when I asked you, Steve, I said, does it work?
In the regular season, it's great.
Semantics?
In the regular season, it's great.
Does it work?
In the regular season, it was great.
He don't want to answer the question.
I just did.
I'm done.
The regular season is great.
Does it work, Steve?
Has it won him a championship?
Budenholzer, by the way.
Nope.
We ain't played the championship yet. I got to beat Boston.
Right.
Right.
You have to beat Boston.
Yeah. I'm going to do it next game and the game after that. Right. And then y'all going to be all cheery. Take it easy.
Got to win
my
tomorrow.
System works. I will make adjustments. I'm Budenholzer, by the way.
No, he said he's not. Now you're making stuff up. He didn't say that.
I'm saying I'm me.
Oh, you're going to be Budenholzer.
Like they say, I am Michael.
Okay,
thing.
Right.
I'm Budenholzer. I'm telling you guys, we're going to make adjustments, not changes. Because I don't have enough time to teach these guys a different system. So what I'm going to do is make adjustments. I got the best staff in the league. Three of them going to be head coaches. These guys going to be coaches. Ham's going to be a coach, okay?
He's going to be a coach, yeah.
I believe in our system. Our players believe in our system. We're number one for a reason.
You got to go back to your guys and let them understand that we're the best for a reason. Okay, you lost. Let's keep it moving. Otherwise, they'll sound like everybody else.
Right.
And then you're right. It is over.
All right, let's take a quick timeout, come back. More people on hold. We'll get to.
I'm glad I got you to that.
Yeah, the let it fly system. That's what he's been running with all year.
Yeah.
You can let it fly, but if you don't make shots, you're going to lose the series.
I'm okay with that, but that's part of the game. Sometimes a guy fumbles, a guy picks it up. He didn't mean to fumble. It just happened.
Got some breaking news from Anthony Mandela. I barely heard him in my ear. I think it's revolving around the Brewers, yes?
Yeah, Christian Yelich came out of yesterday's loss to the Mets early. Back stiffness, he's out of the starting lineup today.
That makes sense. So he'll get the day off again.
Also, a bunch of pitching changes up and down from majors, minors.
What?
Okay.
Aaron Wilkerson hits the injured list. Alex Wilson designated for assignment.
Thank God.
Donnie Hart and Jade Jackson taking their spots on the Major League squad.
Sure.
Can't do any worse. Okay. We'll get some more calls coming in on the next segment. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. And don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. So if the Bucks win tomorrow night, you can take advantage of it coming up on Wednesday. Every time the Bucks win, you have 24 hours to go to any participating Wendy's. Get either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger with the purchase of a medium drink. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh only on 105.7 FM The Fan. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer Badger running back. Hall of Famer, soon to be Pro Football Hall of Famer. At least he better be. Leroy Butler, sporting his Army baseball cap today. Anthony Mandela, other side of the glass. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you, talking about the Bucks-Celtics game from last night. We are going to get into some NFL draft talk. Sports Information Solutions, Matt Manichurian, who put out the Football Rookie Handbook, will come on in the next segment after the Sports Flash.
Yeah,
after
one of the coolest names ever.
Yep. You have another chance to win a grand coming up after the Sports Flash. You need to know the keyword to text to get that. Seth Everett talking some Brewers baseball at 3:48.
And Steve, they will also get a chance to hear from Leroy and I about some draft talk as well.
At some point.
At some point.
You and I were discussing the last break, so what are we going to fit this in?
I think we're probably going to do that at 4, and maybe we'll do it for like a segment or so.
Figure out how to get it
just
in.
Just so people can get it. Because I got people tweeting at Leroy and I on what our thoughts on the draft. So a lot of people call the show to hear Leroy and I what we think about the draft. So we need to try to figure that out.
At some point, Bucks are hot
Bucks
right now.
Everybody thought they were going to win.
I know everybody loved Manichurian, but
if the Bucks would have won, you're right. Absolutely right.
I know everybody loved Manichurian, but people love Roy and I too. Manichurian.
Yeah, it's a nice name. I like it. All right, Gary, go ahead.
Coolest name ever.
You like that, Manichurian?
Yeah.
Let's get to KJ in West Dallas. KJ, you up next? 105.7 FM The Fan. KJ, what you got, man?
Hey, aloha, my brothers. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, for me, man, Boston Celtics are the Bucks' kryptonite.
So already?
Yeah. Well, no, they were last year too, man. Mm-hmm. Look, they're long, they're athletic, they're physical, and they got Kyrie Irving, they got a head coach that's just as smart as yours.
What do you mean yours? KJ, what are you talking?
Yours mean the Milwaukee Bucks.
Are you with the Milwaukee Bucks?
Of course I'm with the Milwaukee Bucks. But
are you keeping it 100?
Okay.
The reason why this is going to be a difficult series. For me, they lost that game in the first half on defense. When they let Kyrie do whatever he wanted to, whatever he wanted to, you got to take something away from him. You got to be physical with him, and that means Bledsoe. Bledsoe's big enough, strong enough, and smart enough that he knows what is necessary to slow him down. You can't just let him get in the paint, get open for three, because he's the facilitator. He's the glue to that team. Everything runs through him. So if you don't stop Kyrie, you're going to have a long afternoon because he gets guys the ball in the right positions. That's what he was doing with Al Horford. That's what he was doing with Brown. Everybody, every time he touched the ball, he either facilitated to somebody or he got his shot wherever he wanted to get it.
Yeah.
So you got to put him on his ass. Yeah, at least a couple, three times in the first half, and then in the second half for you to even have a chance. And it's a bad matchup with Lopez on Al Horford because he can't sag off Horford from the three-point line like he did old dude in from Detroit.
You're right.
Because he'll run right by him because Lopez is slow of foot. You know, so there he go right to the bucket on it. So, therefore, they're going to have to double-team, I believe, Kyrie. They're going to have to, same thing they're doing to Giannis, they're going to have to do to Kyrie. They're going to have to frustrate him. They're going to have to put a couple guys on him and make him give the ball up. That's the only way I think they're going to be successful going forward in this series.
Thanks
if they don't win tomorrow night, obviously, it's a wrap.
Well, it could be a sweep. Thanks for your phone call, KJ.
And that's what I was saying earlier. It could be a sweep. I would get the ball. That would be an adjustment. I would get the ball out of Uncle Drew's hand. Now, the guy did have 11 assists. Right. He had 11 assists and had 7 rebounds. But if you look at
he took some impossible shots.
This guy's amazing, man. I mean, that's why he got his own.
He was hot from the get-go.
But if you look deeper into some of these numbers, and I'm not really a numbers guy, but Terry Rozier still had, like 9 rebounds or something silly like that. So you have to think about their bench is they played a lot of guys.
They're deep, though, Leroy.
They just threw guys in there for 5-6 minutes at a time. They weren't playing a major minute.
No. They just but
just to fill in.
Even like just for guys for 1 or 3 minutes.
Just to fill in.
And it's just to give guys just
a breath.
That's
all you need.
It's a good rotation to keep them fresh cuz again, they're starting 5 all average, you know, over 30 minutes, but Gordon Hayward had 30 minutes. Again, the adjustment would be to me. It's just me. I mean, I'm getting the ball out of Uncle Drew's hands. I'm getting it out of his hands. If other guy hits a wide open shot, he and God help him. But I'm not going to let this guy just go and rip it up for the first quarter again. It's just hard to defend that.
Let's go to John in D.C. John, you're up next, 105.7 in the fan. John, what you got, bud?
Hello.
Johnny, what's up, man?
Hey.
Hey, guys. I just want to say, first of all, I'm listening to you guys over the computer, right?
Okay,
and
thank
you. I want to say to Leroy, I used to be John from Oak Creek, and I miss seeing you in Pick and Save and other stores. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm in the land of the lost right now because I'm in D.C. The Packers draft. I watched that on TIFF television. So, you know, that was cool. Right. And then Game of Thrones came on yesterday.
Okay. Fell asleep.
And then I'm thinking, like, watching a Bucks game, it was just such a downer. But the people that I'm living with right now, I'm just visiting. And the Wizards fans were like, the Bucks are overrated. And I watched every single one of their games this year,
right?
With my cable package. Uh-huh. And I was like, they're not overrated. So that's why I'm kind of with Leroy when he says, like, it's the reason why they had the best record in the league, right? And it's not about the action, it's about the reaction. So if they lose tomorrow, then we'll see how good this coach is, how good the players are on this team, because we know one person on that team is not overrated, you know, so
right,
that's the man.
Right.
But, yeah, and then, you know, my friends kept telling me, like, you know, I had to take a lot of stuff yesterday. Like, oh, they're so overrated. Like, maybe not. You know, let's see how they react. And then let's see what the coach does adjust to. But I do agree with Leroy when he comes to, like, okay, it's the reason why we had the best record. I think we was, like, number 1 and 2 in defense or offense, something like that.
Right.
Some crazy stat. Right. So we'll see. You know, and plus we got the home court. Well, I guess we don't have the home court advantage anymore. But I'm going to hold it down. I'm not coming back to Milwaukee for another week. And we'll see, man.
Down.
And thanks. I love you guys' show.
All right, hold
Thank
it down.
You very
thanks
much.
Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. All right, I got to get to a sports flash here with Anthony Mandela. If you weren't able to get on board, don't worry. We'll continue to talk Bucks coming up later in the show. We'll have it during Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane coming up at 5 o'clock for sure. And we're still debating whether or not we're going to talk Bucks at 4, so you'll just have to wait and see what we determine between now and 4 o'clock. Coming up next, Matt Manicharian from the Sports Information Solution Football Rookie Handbook, his analysis of the draft from over the weekend and how he thought the Packers did. Straight ahead, and your chance to win a grand by simply listening to Anthony Mandela's Sports Flash. And immediately following that, you'll get that keyword that you can text in for our National Cash Contest. Brady's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, only on 105.7 FM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back over there. Packer Hall of Famer, Leroy Butler. Baby Tausch out sick today. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow or Wednesday. Joining us now in the Great Midwest Bank Hotline to talk about the Packers draft picks from the Sports Information Solutions Football Rookie Handbook. He is Matt Manicharian. Matt, thanks a lot for coming on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back. All right, first things first, as we recap the weekend, let's go back to the first round and get your thoughts there on Rashawn Gary and Darnell Savage. Packers taking Gary at 12 and then trading up for Savage at 21.
Yeah, so really aggressive moves there by the Packers. Again, not anything like we've seen kind of the Packers of the past. This is clearly under new management. Rashawn Gary's a really interesting pick. As far as talent goes, his talent is probably top five, really. You know, you're talking about a guy who was the number one guy coming out of high school a few years ago. But at the same time, when you watch the film, he disappears at times. I think, you know, if you told me a year ago that his teammate would have gone ahead of him, I would have been really just surprised by that because of the physical tools that Rashawn Gary brings to the table. But, you know, so it's kind of the risk-reward there when you get somebody like that. The upside is ridiculous, but you know, there have been times when he's disappeared on the film. And then, you know, similar deal with Darnell Savage. For me, I tend to prioritize other positional value. They got what I think is going to be a really good box safety and kind of intermediate type cover safety rather than somebody that's really going to be playing back end. He's not going to be, you know, sitting back there in center field as much. I think he's more of a guy that's going to come down over the slot and cover for you there. So that's becoming more of a value in the NFL these days. I didn't think they needed to move up for him right there. But, you know, both of these players, I think you're seeing they have really high upsides in how if they work out and they hit on what these guys could be, then you'll be feeling really good about it. So it all depends on how they fit into that vision for Mike Pettine's system.
Do you really buy into the fact that they said the scheme could have been a problem for Rashawn Gary at Michigan? It allowed, what is the other linebacker, Minkowski, allowed him to run free, allowed Bush to do the things that he needed to do. So he sacrificed a lot in that scheme. Do you buy into that?
Oh, no, I don't buy that at all. I think that when you watch the film on him, it's not just a production thing with him. It's that you see he doesn't really have much in terms of a developed pass rush repertoire. You don't really see somebody that has a plan that seems like he's really put it together. You just see somebody that's kind of going off of their physical ability, kind of hot and cold motor. So the film is somewhat concerning in terms of what this player has been, regardless of the stats and the production. And for me, the real question is that just maybe it is the situation there. Maybe there's other things about the situation in Michigan that didn't suit him so well. But you've got to hope that now getting him into the new environment that you have really good reason to believe why he's going to be somebody. You know, this can turn out great when you bring somebody into a better environment than they've been in. But, you know, there's also the risk that it's not the environment, you know. In analytics, we say, you know, is this an alpha problem or a beta problem?
Yeah, I really like
– I like VHS better, Leroy.
You know, I like. Well,
it was a joke. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm a beta guy, but I like Jace a lot, Sternberger, and I like Kiki. Now both of those guys play for, you know, a former Florida State coach, Jimbo Fisher. So I've seen these guys play. Now other guys you didn't. It's hard to get an eye test on some of these other guys, especially when you get to later rounds. But I think the tight end position is something that we have been hearing that the Packers were looking at. And for some reason, they wanted a pass-catching tight end. People were saying that Jace is not a great blocker. Listen, I don't want him blocking. I want him going down the middle catching passes.
Yeah, you want a guy that's going to fit in with Aaron Rodgers. I couldn't agree with you more. This is a passing league right now. Passing is Absolutely. What wins football games. And when you got the best quarterback in the world, you want to get him some targets. This is a really interesting pick. Not a guy that's played a ton of football. Not a ton of film out there, but ridiculous athleticism. Had a huge year this past year at A&M. He's a receiver. I think he's ready-made. He's got the play speed, not just the time speed. You see it on the film and the athleticism there. So he's going to be a matchup nightmare. That's what you get with him. But, no, you're not going to line him up in line and expect him to block anybody. That's not what you're going for here. You're looking to spread teams out rather than pack them in with a player like this.
Now, two positions I thought that I was not real happy about. But, listen, I don't have to agree with it because these guys put in 15, 16-hour days. But some of it is a head-scratcher. They did not address offensive line more. I know they got Jenkins, the center. I mean, I think he's played all five positions. But later in the rounds, I was hoping for them to address more offensive line because at the end of the day, Khalil Mack is right up the street, okay? And you have not addressed defending him. But also, I wanted them at some point to get, maybe it can be the Dexter guy, I don't know. They need a returner. They don't have a punt returner or a kick returner that they feel good about.
Yeah, I'm with you, and this is why I talk about positional value. And in terms of when you go and you trade up and you give up assets
to get Darnell Savage there. Now, I'm not saying anything about that. You know, we all hope he's going to become a great player and be exactly what they were looking for. But at the same time, when you're going to – I played safety growing up, so I know what the value of a safety can be on the field. And I got news. It's not as much as a really good offensive tackle, and it's not as much as a really good pass rusher. Those guys just impact the play on a down-to-down basis, whether it's a pass or a run, at the point of attack a lot more often than somebody playing on the back end does. And the fact of the matter is, there aren't that many really athletic 300 pounds out there. There are 200-pound guys that are really athletic. There are a lot of those guys out there, and that's why there are lots of running backs to choose from. And you can go get a Dexter Williams late, and you can kind of plug guys in there. But it's really hard to get an offensive tackle, an offensive guard, a center late in the draft that's going to be someone that's going to upgrade your team. I think Elgton Jenkins was an awesome pick. We had him rated as our third-rated center in the draft. We had a starting-level grade on him. We think he upgrades the offensive line right away. Fit him in at center, fit him in at guard, either way. Not going to be a top athlete. He doesn't have left tackle feet, but he's not going to play left tackle. But so you're doing things there. You can't address them all at once. But certainly when you choose to address that safety position earlier, you're deciding not to address one of those other positions. And I think you can find that you can fit in these kind of smaller guys later in the draft a lot more often than you can find big guys who are difference makers late.
Talk with Matt Manajerian of the Sports Information Solutions Football Rookie Handbook. One last thing. I think the key that we've seen over 3 days is this team is all about speed. They're all about drafting guys that run good 40s for their position. Would you agree with that?
Yep, I think they're trying to upgrade the team speed. There's no doubt about it, and I think rightfully so. In the modern NFL, this is a speed game more than ever. So I think it's not just time speed. You see it on the film with somebody like Sternberger. You see Rashawn Gary. His athleticism just jumps out at you. You know, I think definitely you look at Savage and how he runs, and that played a role in where he got drafted. But these are guys who are there where what they do, you know, you're not just seeing the number. You're actually seeing them back it up on the film. They have that sort of athleticism. Definitely trying to get faster, no doubt about it.
Matt, thanks so much for coming on, dude. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again
thanks,
in the future.
Matt. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Matt Manajerian, the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Do you have a problem with Rashawn Gary went 52?
No, why? They stuck crappy players with 36 for how long? Who cares? At least he's a first round pick.
Hey, Steve.
If I'm Clay Matthews, I'm happy.
I ain't here to judge.
You see Clay Matthews weigh in on it?
Yeah. Bye's not even cold yet, LOL.
Dude, get over it. Jordy Nelson's 87, too.
Right. I mean, they could have gave 52 to Ty Summers. Now, that would have been insulting.
That would have been insulting.
But they gave it to the first round pick. If he's a bust.
Who's wearing 36 now? That's so Raven?
Raven Green, cuz. Come on.
Like I said, that's disrespectful.
Man may turn.
Is he from Florida? That's a Raven?
I don't know.
Don't matter. All right, coming up next, we'll talk with Seth Everett, get his take on what happened to the Brewers over the weekend. They did take 2 out of 3, but there just seems to be more questions than answers at this point. Served up hot and fresh, only on 105.7 FM, The Fan. See Sparky Fife, Gary Ellison, Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. Your chance to put a grand in your hand in our national cash contest coming up again at the top of the hour. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is the legendary Seth Everett.
He's a legend.
Good afternoon, Seth.
Seth, I have a question. I have a question before we get started.
Fun.
I would be honest. Seth, I have to be honest. I went. Took the family to see.
Please don't tell me what happened. I have not seen it.
Hey, Steve, this is amazing. Because I went to sleep 4 times and it still wasn't over.
It's like, it's like 3 hours.
Man, I'm 50 years old. Because I'm like, and did I start to cry a little bit? My wife elbowed me right in my sore rib that I got when I was doing the leap. Lord, and that's the one that waked me up. She said, "You're going to miss the ending." I said, "I'm tired." And went back to sleep.
What time show did you go to?
It don't matter when he goes.
Was it like middle of the afternoon?
It doesn't matter. It was early. He goes sleeping in me now.
Wasn't even a nighttime show.
He goes to sleep in all movies.
Man, we went looking and we went looking for tickets. We went looking for tickets in Oak Creek for that show. Yeah. Right? The only tickets available all weekend were the very first row. That was it. You got sore neck looking up if you wanted to go see that show. All right, Seth, what you got?
Well, look, to fall asleep during that movie is not acceptable.
I apologize. I'm your guy. I thought we were family.
No, we are. I accept your apology. But what I'm saying is, I have not heard one person at all complain about this movie. And I will say this. Right. It doesn't feel like 3 hours. But I'll tell you what it feels like. And you guys just tell me if you disagree. It felt like the series finale of a long-running show. It felt like Cheers. It felt like Quantum Leap. Like, here's the thing. Everybody got their stories taken care of.
Yep.
I'm not giving anything away.
Please don't.
Like, do you remember the end of Cheers when Norm walks into the bar, and then Cliff runs into the bar, and then Frasier comes into the bar? Like, they all get their stories tied up, and it has to be in a nice little bow. And that's what the Russo brothers did with a three-hour movie. Like, that movie can't be cut. It was incredibly short. And here's the one thing I will say to back up the statements I made a couple of weeks ago on your show. I was critical of the end of Infinity War. I thought the snap was very contrived because I said, you know, one thing I'd like to assume is that Marvel thinks its audience is smart. And I said, is there a guy in Alabama that walked out of Infinity War and said, oh, my God, they killed Black Panther? Like, that didn't happen. And But I will give credit to Endgame. Because even though it's the worst-kept secret in the world, you still didn't see it coming. And that is very hard to do.
Good. That makes me still want to go see the movie. Very good. I appreciate it. Now, the one thing that we also probably didn't see coming was how bad this Brewers pitching staff was going to be. And today they made more moves. A couple guys gone, a couple new guys coming up from AAA. So the rotation, the carousel, I guess, continues between AAA and the major league level. And to be honest, this is exactly what happened at the start of last year with the Brewers, with a lot of guys coming up and down.
Yep, and that's when, you know, around July, you're going to start to see the opener, and we'll talk about the new wave of baseball. But I was there yesterday, and this is what I'll say. I didn't think Gio pitched that horribly. I thought it was deuced and a bloop here, and it was a couple of bad pitches, but not awful. I am encouraged that the Brewers will figure out how to get him right. I'm not saying he's ever going to be a frontline guy, but I think he can give you innings that you need, and trust me. I mean, if you look at that bullpen, they need innings. Their starters are not giving them the depth that they absolutely need. But I was encouraged. I thought it was great that they hit up on DeGrom, because even though clearly something's wrong with him, you're talking about the reigning Cy Young Award winner. The Brewers bashed him pretty good. So, and I thought it was some good video when Ryan Braun got the beard done.
Yeah.
that'll happen. I mean, the bottom line was he wasn't going to make that catch anyway. So that's the one argument that I couldn't fly on Twitter, because he wasn't going to make that catch anyway. But you took 2-3 from the Mets. You're a game over 500. If I told you the end of May, or the end of April, beginning of May, you'd be a game over 500. Right. Everyone in this room would sign for it.
No, you're right about that, Seth. I think most people would if they are reasonable enough to know what the Brewers were up against this first month. Hey, Gio Gonzalez, what does he bring to the table for the Brewers?
Well, how can he help him? He's a veteran. I hate to say it, but he's been really consistent most of his career until he started bouncing around. Is it possible that he's one of those guys that has a short window and he'll be out of baseball in 2 years? I don't know. I like the signing. I will say this. I heard from other teams that are mad as heck that the Brewers got him. Considering that it wasn't a draft pick and it was just some cash and it's a very incentive-laden deal, Yankee people are upset that the Yankees didn't offer the same contract term, because why they had to sign him to a minor league deal when they obviously needed him is a mistake. And number two, there were about six other teams that really wanted his services. So he was sought after. The reason why he was unsigned during the winter was because of his demand, not the other way around. And I thought for the Brewers,
this is, you're taking a chance. I tweeted this over the weekend, low risk, high reward. If he can't pitch anymore because he was not good in AAA, but like I said, I watched him closely. I was there in person. I watched him. I didn't think he looked horrible. I thought it was a couple of bad, you know, hit them where they ain't kind of plays. And all I say is that warrants to me another shot. I would give him 2, 3, 4 more starts. If he's brutal, don't know. But if he's not, you might have a diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Leroy.
No, go.
Played all that much. I'm assuming they're trying to fix whatever is wrong with Aguilar. This guy was a hero last year for this Brewers team.
I know. And they're going to give him opportunities. I think as long as they are competitive and they're not in that slump mode again, I think he gets opportunities. I like this team to kind of tread water right now. And, you know, I saw it and, you know, I talked to a couple of people that are affiliated with the organization, and they have just such high hopes for him. They want him to do so much better. And this is one of those situations where council and everybody in that coaching staff has to look at him and kind of figure it out. Because you're right, he was part of the heart and soul of last year's team, and I want him to be that again. I'm not asking him to have, you know, an amazing month of May, but he's got to be clutch like he was last year.
Yeah, okay, Yelich is day-to-day. You don't have anybody like him, but you could put a left-handed bat, I guess, at number two in the lineup.
Grandal's batting second.
Okay, that's what I figured. They'd probably just move him up and keep him there. Now, Pena's in there too, Steve.
Nope, Grandal's catching.
Grandal's catching. Are you concerned about the pass balls, Grandal? Because you kind of knew that already coming in. I'm going a game or two back. Say again.
Yeah, it's what I thought he was. You know, he's not the greatest defensive catcher, and you got him for his bat, and as long as his bat contributes, you kind of need his bat now that Yelich, you know, the thing with Yelich is I don't think it's a serious thing, but, you know, he's that important. I mean, he's had a historic month of April. He's the lifeblood of the team. I mean, he's the MVP of the league right now, again.
Right.
And, you know, so any time that you don't have him, you're looking for offense from other sources.
Yeah, I, a lot of people have been stuffing that Cody Bellinger guy into my saying he's the MVP, but we'll argue another day. But I'm excited about Davies.
I can tell that. It's April.
I tell people that, but they just
– let them think that.
Yeah, right. So Zach Davies, though, he seems to be the ace of everything. But it does concern me with a team like Colorado, teams that can hit at any time and get hot with this pitching staff. So now – If Davies can go 6, maybe 7, because Jeffers, you know, it's went from health to mechanics now. I'm still concerned about the later innings.
I am too. I mean, I thought, you know, when Kariba went down, I thought this team was going to be hurting. And, you know, I know that you have a guy who, you know, Josh Hader that you like, but you can't keep going to the well. I didn't like bringing him in for that 8-out save a couple weeks ago. Jeffers is going to be key because what Jeffers was last year was a rock. He was a guy you could bring in the fifth inning, the sixth inning, the seventh inning, whenever you needed him. And, you know, you want to have that reliability. And right now, you're cautious. One thing I heard Craig Counsell say over the weekend was that you have to make sure he takes extra time to get ready. He's not ready in a moment. And, and remind me, I have something on Kimball to tell you guys. But the thing that you have to recognize with Jeffers is, When you don't have that reliability, it just puts a lot of pressure on everybody else in the bullpen. And I just think this team could use an infusion of another starter and another reliever. I've said that, you know, from the get-go. One thing about Kimbrel, a lot of people are concerned that he is not in tip-top shape and that the layoff, there's only so much self-policing that you can do. You guys are, athletes. You know how important it is to have discipline, but having coaches and trainers really helps you. And I know if somebody, you know, I go to the gym, I do twice as much if a trainer is watching me than when I go by myself. And this idea that Kimbrel might take a while, he might not be ready even when he says he's ready. So, for example, if he signed tomorrow, let's say he signed on May 1st, he wouldn't be up with a big club until like May 20th. He wouldn't be right until like June 15th. What are we talking about now? We were talking about half a year, and he's not looking for half the money. So Craig Kimbrel is pricing himself out of this market, which is crazy to think because, like I said, there are about half a dozen teams right now that need Craig Kimbrell in the worst way.
Good stuff. There he is, Seth Everett, joining us as always on the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. When's the next podcast coming out, Seth?
Sports with Friends is with the great John Kincaid. That comes out Wednesday. And the Hall of Justice, we're going to talk about something very interesting that I think you guys will like. The Hall of Justice is going to talk about streaming, because Disney Plus is going to have all the Disney movies, all the Star Wars movies, all the Marvel movies for $6.99.
Yep.
$6.99 for all of that, including Endgame and Captain Marvel.
Yep.
And the new Star Wars when it comes out.
And there's there's a Star Wars show going to have. That looks amazing.
By Jon Favreau, who directed the first Iron Man movie. The idea that Netflix is charging $14 versus I'm sorry, there's going to be a war here, and I think it's going to help the consumer. We're going to do a Hall of Justice episode on the comic book world's impact, because AT&T bought Time Warner, which means they have this DC Universe app, but they're going to put all their Justice League and all their Batman stuff on the AT&T app. So now you have Apple TV, you have Disney TV, you have AT&T TV, and Netflix, and Hulu, and Amazon. Why do you need cable? Sorry if Cable's the sponsor of your show.
It's all right. We got DirecTV. No. Seth, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
I'll talk to you guys. When you see Endgame and you stay up for it, let me know. Text me.
I'll let you know. Right. I just got to get tickets for it next. Seth on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Seth, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Coming up next, Bucks and Celtics from over the weekend. Celtics knocking off the Bucks 112-90. More details on what's all happening today, the day in between games 1 and 2, from Anthony Mandela coming up in a sports flash. And on the other side, who do you blame for what happened in game 1?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.